Today's gospel introduces us to a remarkable woman. She's courageous. She's clever. She's cool. But most of all, she is a devoted mama who will do anything in the world to help her child, purportedly oppressed by demons. A parental instinct we all admire. Problem is, it's also one of the most unsettling accounts in the entire New Testament, because if you've really listened, it appears to portray a Jesus no Christian would want, a Jesus who insults and dehumanizes a desperate woman with prejudice and ethnocentrism. Before we get to that, though, let's get a sense of the background of it all. Jesus has been traveling from Nazareth to the Sea of Galilee, performing miracles, feeding multitudes, and walking on water. He and his disciples are worn out and leave Jerusalem for a much-needed rest in the Gentile Syrophoenician region. It's here that he's found by the mother seeking a miracle. She's called the Syrophoenician woman because she's not Jewish. And we need to note this fact, that she's not a Jew, because it's important. Probably born in the province of Syria, she is a Gentile and an outsider by her nationality and religious beliefs. Centuries of very bad blood, of racist prejudice and segregation had passed between Jesus, a Jew, and this pagan woman and all she represents. The first followers of Jesus, remember, were after all Jewish, and they had trouble imagining that the God of Israel, who had sent Jesus the Christ, the Savior, could or even would be interested in saving pagans. Jews were the people of God. The Hebrew scriptures made that clear. So ethnocentric contempt toward outsiders was a norm of Jewish culture. And there was more. As a woman, this mama has no right to approach a man for any reason. And Jewish men considered it undignified to even speak with one. Her request that he heals her daughter is thus, in fact, shameful. But she bravely perseveres. We hear that she falls at his feet, wailing for mercy, only to be countered by Jesus saying, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Undaunted, she again pleads for mercy, at which he then drops the bombshell. "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Children, of course, being children of Israel. This woman has defied all boundaries and risks serious repercussions, but she loves her little child and, refusing to ignore this heinous put-down, answers, "Yes, Lord." Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. I love dogs, as most of you know, but Jesus probably didn't. In his day, dogs were mostly free-ranging, semi-feral scavengers that roamed village streets and garbage dumps. Under ancient Jewish law, dogs were considered ritually unclean and therefore not allowed around sacred areas. So tagging someone, particularly a Gentile interloper, a dog, was a common insult, a slur representing low status, moral uncleanness, and an outsider to Israel. In the language of the day, it was a major slur. The very idea that he who died so that none should perish would greet a mother begging for her child with the callous insult of dog is antithetical to the very message of a loving, gentle, compassionate Christ the Redeemer, particularly in a society like ours where women's rights and racial equality are just basic justice. No wonder this story is not one about which children sing songs in Sunday school. It's true, the desperate mother changes his mind. With Jesus wising up and broadening his horizons and ministry only after the fact, but it still smarts. Why? We might wonder. Is it even in the Bible? And it's in Mark's gospel as well as today's Matthew's. In seminary, our New Testament professor emphasized that proof the account is accurate, is that it is documented in Scripture. Because if it hadn't actually happened, Jesus' followers would never have included it. It makes him look that bad. Being stuck with it as we are, there are lots of attempts over the ages to launder the words and make them nice. Some commentators suggest Jesus was just tired and having a bad day. Others claimed his and the woman's bantering back and forth was merely Jesus' way of teaching. Some think it merely offers a glimpse of Jesus' natural growth curve as a human being, while others suggest, oh no, he meant only puppies, not dogs. You know, those cute, lovable little bundles of fur. Whatever their substance, Jesus' words are demeaning and racist to us, and we need to honestly face them. And to do so, we need to recall a little bit of history. As you'll remember, Jesus' followers saw him as the Christ, the long-awaited fulfillment of the messianic prophecy foretelling the Savior who would restore the world, all of the world, to its original before sin wholeness, the kingdom of God. The Messiah, Jesus, would bring this about in fulfillment of God's promise in Genesis 3, which you'll remember is to bless all the families on earth through Abraham and the children of Israel. Children of Israel. Jesus' focus from the very start, religiously and culturally, was the Jews. And thus, his response to the Gentile mother, while stark and offensive to us, was nevertheless in keeping with then mainstream Semitic thinking. Still, it offends us. We like to think he was perfect, and many Christians do believe this, being the Son of God and all. But these words of his were anything but perfect. That he was and is divine is foundational to Christianity, yes, The only Son of God, the Nicene Creed declares, eternally begotten of the Father. And so as divine, it seems reasonable that he would be without fault or error, without sin. In other words, perfect. For fun, I looked the word perfect up, and all the sources said basically the same thing. Completely or entirely without fault, flaws, or mistakes. Well, a definition that fits divine, doesn't it? Problem is, he wasn't only divine. The Creed complicates matters by reminding us Jesus also shared our humanity. He came down from heaven, it says, and by the power of the Holy Spirit became incarnate, was made man, made human, made one of us. You're human. Are you perfect? Somebody, no, I saw that. You nodded. I don't have to tell you I'm not. Is human perfection even possible? Being human, remember, means being rooted within a myriad of differing and contrasting cultures. It means growing up, particularly in a rather insular society as Jesus did, growing up with a particular worldview which can, in fact, be prejudiced. It means inheriting traditions and language and biases that can be wrong-headed and hurtful and sometimes even alienating. Jesus is divine, of God, and as divine, unable to sin. But as human, he was fallible and capable of mistakes, of being wrong-headed and unintentionally hurtful, the very opposite of perfect. To some extent, whether we like to think about it or not, Jesus was, like us, a work in process. And to deny him this reality seriously impairs our ability to see him as our sibling and our model. The story of the Syrophoenician woman marks a major turning point in Jesus' understanding of both his mission and his ministry. His interaction with this unclean Gentile helped move him from an exclusively Jewish ministry to one embracing even those considered unacceptable, and open the door to those who had been separated by religious tradition and religious practice. And that, in turn, influenced the early church's view about who is included in the children of God. A really big deal. This message is especially relevant to us as we work towards a vision of a radically inclusive church and a radically inclusive society. Our challenge in ministry is how to include those who stand outside our community, who feel marginalized and unwelcomed for any reason at all. All in all, today's gospel offers us a glimpse into the one who would grow to lay down his life not merely for some, but for all, and who calls us to do the same. Amen.